You know those moments where you experience something and your whole life goes through this shift? You saw things one way, but then you see something differently and you can't unsee it. Or you taste something that is so real and so true, and it just impacts you deep down in your bones, and you can't see things any differently. Have you ever had one of these red pill experiences before? You can't go back to how it used to be. It's like you put on a pair of sunglasses, and all of a sudden you're seeing things through a completely different shade. So when I recognized this truth, that was a red pill experience for me. So let's begin Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll begin in verse 10. And a bit of background for us. Where do we find ourselves in the story? In the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites are on the cusp of entering into the promised land. They're waiting by the Jordan River, ready to cross over and inherit the land that God has been promising them for hundreds of years. This is a promise that starts very early in the Bible. God promises a man, Abraham, I am going to give you and your descendants some land. So there's all this height, there's all this enthusiasm. But then Egypt happens, slavery, the evil Pharaoh. And so this promise, the excitement, it loses a bit of steam. And the Israelites are wondering, well, how is this promise ever going to come to pass? When you and your family have been enslaved for a few hundred years, of course, any promise for a better future, well, it starts to dim a little bit. The longer you go through a period where everything is just crushing in on you, it seems like all these hopes and promises that you've been told, well, they start to fade away. So this promise loses some traction, but then it gains steam again because there's something called the Exodus, where God rescues the Israelites, sets them out of Egypt, rescues them from Egypt, and now they're wandering in the wilderness for about 40 years. And after this time of wandering, they find themselves here in the book of Deuteronomy, about to finally, after hundreds of years, inherit this land that God had been promising them. And there's a leader, maybe you've heard of him before, his name is Moses. Moses has this sermon. So Deuteronomy is essentially a sermon that Moses is giving to the Israelites as he prepares them to inherit this promise. And here's part of Moses' sermon, Deuteronomy 6, verse 10. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What Moses is telling the Israelites here is the land that you are about to inherit is a gift that God is giving to you. The land that you're about to inherit, you didn't earn it through merit. You didn't earn it through what you achieved. It's not like you performed, you got a couple of gold stars or A pluses, and you performed so well that then God was going to just gift the land to them. Rather, the land that God is giving is simply a gift that God is providing for them. Now, maybe you're thinking, all right, land, what's the big deal? Who really cares about land? Isn't the Bible about more spiritual things? I mean, land is just the thing that we walk on. Isn't the Bible after much bigger things than simply land? Actually, no. When I was in seminary, my Hebrew professor took a Pentateuch class, the first five books of the Bible. One of the things he would say basically week after week is that land is one of the central themes of the entire Bible. There's a great Old Testament scholar, Walter Brueggemann. He actually wrote a book on this called The Land, all about how land is central to understanding the Bible. If you want to understand the Bible, if you want to understand what God's doing in the Bible, you must recognize that land is a central theme found throughout all the different pages. You can't read the Bible without seeing land pop up everywhere. Now, maybe you're wondering at this point, why? You're still not convinced about this. Why is land such a big deal in the Bible? Because land signified identity, meaning, significance. Land signified a home. Think about how many wars in our history, our global history, have been fought over land. For us, we don't really think about that. We live in America. Everything is good. We have our home. Maybe we rent a spot. Maybe we own a plot of land. But all throughout history, all around the world, and still in the world today, wars, battles, skirmishes have been fought over the question of who owns the land? Whose land is this? Whose identity is connected to this particular plot of land? And so what God's doing here, remember, the Israelites, they've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. They have never had a home, a place to call their own. At this point in the story, they really have no identity. So when God says, I am going to give you this land, he's saying, I'm about to give you a whole new identity. For the first time in your life, I'm going to give you a place to call home. I'm going to give you meaning and significance. Like all these other people that you look up to because they have their own land, you want to be just like them? Well, I'm about to provide meaning, significance, home, belonging for you. But then at the end of this, after Moses talks about land, he has one small disclaimer. It seems small, but in actuality, it's a pretty big disclaimer. He says, when you're enjoying all the things that your hands haven't provided, the wells that you didn't slave over and dig in the hot sun, the food that's already being produced by the land, the houses that you didn't build, when you eat and you're satisfied, in other words, when everything in life is good and you're enjoying the gift that God has given you, make sure that you do not forget God, the one who has provided all of this for you. I mean, isn't that a challenge for us today? When life is good, when things are going well, or even when things aren't going well, isn't it a challenge for us to, number one, go to the next slide, recognize that all we've been given, our very life, the breath that you're breathing right now, the breath that is keeping you alive, isn't that the challenge to recognize that it's a gift that you've been given? And then to number two, to not forget that truth. To not move from gift to entitlement or from grace to I deserve this or to not abuse the gift that you've been given. Isn't that a challenge for us today? Obviously, it was a challenge for our ancestors hundreds, thousands of years ago. This is why Moses said, when you eat and you're satisfied and you're enjoying all that's been gifted to you, make sure that you do not forget the Lord your God. Now, if you're new to the Bible, major spoiler alert. I'm going to give it away. So if you need earmuffs or something, if you're just working your way through, earmuff right now because major spoilers. The Israelites forget. Just a couple of chapters beyond this. They, very soon after they're enjoying what God has given, they begin to forget, as is common to all of us. And they are then forcibly removed from the land. This period is known as the exile. It is one of the darkest periods in Israelite history. If you don't believe me, just read the book of Lamentations, and you will be depressed for about a week. Lamentations is the Israelites wrestling through. We had the land, now we lost the land. Where is God in the midst of all this? The Israelites have forgotten. See, the Bible serves as a warning to us. When you forget that all you've been given is a gift, exile is what happens. When you just take for granted what you have, exile happens, whether it's a physical exile or an exile that occurs in your heart. Now, I want to share a story about how I came to realize this truth. A couple of years ago, I went to a conference in Southern California by an author, pastor by the name of Rob Bell. And this it wasn't really a conference. It's actually, I think, what you would call like an anti-conference. There was no live music. There was no stage. There were no lights. There wasn't a microphone. There wasn't a whole list of speakers and breakout sessions. You want to know how the conference was actually advertised? There's going to be times of teaching, tacos, and surfing. Southern California, can you get any better than that? And I remember there was a pastor that my in-laws had kept telling me, you have to meet this guy, you have to meet this guy. I met him at a funeral. Within 5 minutes, he was inviting me to Southern California to go to this conference. He was saying, hey, me and my friend are going to this thing. We have a hotel room. You can crash on the couch. Do you want to come? It's in less than a month. I was like, sure, let's do it. I have a picture of, I mean, can you get a better conference venue than this? Right off the beach, an open roof building, 2 days spent here. And remember, the whole 2 days, it was simply Rob Bell, a couple of white sheets of paper attached to that board on the back, some Sharpies, and about 75 of us just sitting there with the glorious California sun over our heads and the beach and moments of breaks to go surfing. Now, during these 2 days, he said something that I will never forget. So simple, yet so profound. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. Your life, your breath is a gift. And then he went on to explain some of the implications of, well, what does this mean when you see your life from this perspective? If we go to the next slide, he said, this actually changes everything from how it is when you sit in traffic to remember the moment you have, it's still a gift that's been given you. The fact that you even just get to breathe and sit in traffic, or about controlling outcomes and how in reality you have no control of how things go. And so your work, what you do, it's simply a gift. The fact that you get to do your work is a gift in itself, or how you view yourself as a precious resource, or what you do with your life, the gift that's been given you. He said, when you see your life from this perspective, it changes everything. And I remember hearing that, and it was like light bulbs went off in my head. And I left there changed. It was one of those moments. You know how you have those moments in life that you look back on and you realize it was a turning point in your life? For me, those 2 days, it was one of those moments, because from that point forward, I then tried living my life through that lens, with that worldview. How do I live my entire life believing and trusting that all that I've been given is a gift? So I remember making a conscious effort when I returned home to live my life as if it's all a gift. So I'd be sitting in traffic, and I would remember his story and his words, and I would just turn the music up a little bit louder. Last year, I got stuck. I don't know what I was thinking. The Kensico Dam was doing their 4th of July fireworks, and me, totally not thinking, was leaving the North White Plains train station, decided to take the Bronx River up to 22, stuck in traffic July 3rd for an hour. I just cranked Bruce Springsteen a little louder and just put the windows down and said, I can get angry about it, I can get upset about it, or I can just enjoy this moment. From that moment, when I went to this conference, I remember I had so much anxiety about sermons before this belief. And I came back and said, well, the fact that I get to write a sermon each week is a gift in itself. And if no one likes it, if it just falls on dead ears and no one ever listens or no one's wowed by it, well, the fact that I got to put it together and the fact that I got to unpack what God's been doing in my life for myself and reflect on that, well, that's a gift in itself. So I started just letting those outcomes go, and whatever happens as a result of what I say up here, well, I just entrust those results to God. I mean, this was a life-changing moment for me. I started being more aware of how I use my time and what I say yes to, what I say no to, realizing that my life, it's a gift. It's finite. I don't have infinite resources to go around everywhere and say yes to everything. And so I started being way more particular about how I used the gift of my life that I've been given. Now, I'd like to tell you that everything since that moment has been glorious, and no matter what comes in life, that I'm like, oh, it's all a gift. I love it. But we all know life doesn't really work that way. You can have a mindset, you can have a certain lens, but then life happens. It all hits the fan, and you're left like, oh, my goodness, how could this possibly be a gift? You've all had those moments. I know. Don't lie. What happens is when I stop living from this perspective that it's all a gift, here's how I notice that I'm going off the rails a little bit. Here's how I know that I'm forgetting God and what God has given me. And maybe you can relate to this. I become a little more anxious throughout my day. I start feeling a bit more overwhelmed with life. Or I find myself trying to control or manipulate certain outcomes or people, which, trust me, never goes well. Or I start getting a little more of that entitlement mentality. Well, I deserve a fate that's better or different than what I'm experiencing at this moment. Look at them and what, like, life is great for them. Well, I'm a better person than they are. I deserve what they have. I don't deserve what I'm going through. And what happens when I stop living from this place of it's all a gift, when I forget, it's almost as if my soul starts to be compressed. And it's like the life starts getting squeezed out of my soul. Have you ever had a moment like this before where you feel trapped and your anxiety spikes? See, what I realize is that when I'm living from this place of gift, there's a sense of freedom. There's a sense of lightness. There's a sense of expansiveness. And so when I'm not living from gift, it's like everything is closed in. It feels heavy. It's like when I'm walking, but I'm carrying like 50-pound weights, dragging them around with me. But when I stop and I realize, okay, I've forgotten that it's all a gift. And then I get back to that. It's like this weight begins to lift off of me. So what I want to do is I want to give you two practices that have tremendously helped me to see that my life is a gift. And then I want to give you an assignment for the week. All right? So let's talk about Jewish mystics, Jerry Seinfeld, and then an assignment. First, Jewish mystics. This is a picture of Abraham Heschel, the great Jewish writer, author of, if you haven't heard of him, just Amazon. He wrote The Sabbath, God in Search of Man, absolutely brilliant man. He once said this about his life: "Never once in my life did I ask God for success or wisdom or power or fame. I asked for wonder and he gave it to me." Isn't that what we all want from life? Wonder. To live with a sense of awe. I mean, all the songs that we were singing this morning, God of wonders, you can hold the stars, and what Heiko was saying about how small we are compared to the expansiveness of the sky and the stars that we see up there. I mean, isn't that how we all want to live life? From a posture of gratitude? See, here's the thing about life. Whatever you look for in life, you will find. If you look for hope, you're going to find it. Now, I understand sometimes there's an avalanche and hope gets buried under the rocks. And so you got to move some of the debris out of the way in order to get to the hope. Or you got to gather some friends with you because the boulders just weigh a little too much for you to push out of the way. But you get two or three or four other people and you can get that boulder out of the way, and hidden underneath the avalanche is hope. If you look for hope, you will find it. If you look for a reason to support why you're angry, or why you deserve this and why they deserve that, you will find that in life. If you look for a reason to be overwhelmed, you will find that in life. Whatever you look for in life, you will find. What did Abraham Heschel look for? Wonder. What did he find? Wonder. See, it's almost as if when you set your intentions on something, your radar is then up throughout the week. Wonder. And you're looking all around for those moments that produce wonder within you. So as we're on this series now, on the way, what is it that you are setting your sights on as you're on the way? What are you looking for in life. For me, as I mentioned, this mentality, it's all a gift. I try to begin every morning and live throughout the day with this prayer of, God, help me see that it's all a gift. Help me recognize it's all a gift. And I guarantee you, you pray that prayer, man, God's going to answer that one. You pray that prayer throughout your day and in the morning, and you set your sights on gift and the beauty of all that God has gifted you, you will come to discover. You'll come to see how everything in life is a gift. And now let's talk about Jerry Seinfeld. It's a few years ago. In talking about his kids, his teenage kids, here's what Jerry Seinfeld has to say. I'm a believer in the ordinary and the mundane. These guys that talk about quality time, I always find that a little sad when they say, we have quality time. I don't want quality time. I want the garbage time. That's what I like. You just see them talking about his kids in their room reading a comic book, and you get to kind of watch that for a minute. Or having a bowl of Cheerios at 11 o'clock at night when they're not even supposed to be up. The garbage. That's what I love. So here's a practice for you. Embrace the garbage time. Most of life is garbage time. Hate to break it to you. Most of life is the errands. It's the grind. And if you're just living for those big moments, like the European trip or the trip to Mohegan Sun, if you're just living for those moments, well, that's simply a fraction of your year. Most of your life is lived in the garbage time. And if we're just looking for those big moments, we will miss the sacredness of the ordinary and the mundane. So embrace the garbage time. Here's one thing I've discovered in life. You only live once. Your life, your breath is finite. One day you will die. Hate to be a bearer of bad news. One day you will die. So embrace all. I get so sad whenever I hear, I see people say, I got 53 more days. I just got to get through before I get to the end of school or this. Okay, well, what about the sacredness of those 53 days between now and then? I mean, can't they be just as great as whatever? Like, sure, of course, it's going to be an amazing experience, whatever that happens to be. But, like, isn't the fact that you're alive and you're breathing also a great experience? And isn't that a gift as well? It like breaks my heart whenever people say, I got 7 more Fridays to get through until the end of the school year. Well, that's 7 more Fridays of your life that you're just looking at as a waste of time. But yet that's 7 Fridays of your life that God has gifted you with the beauty of life. And I was walking from my car into the building this morning. The warmth of the sun on my back, I mean, come on. Does it get any better than that on January 12th? It's a gift. It's all a gift. So embrace the garbage time. And then an assignment. So everyone was handed a note card, I believe, on their way in this morning. And if you haven't received a note card, I have a couple more here. And on the back table, I have a couple of black Sharpies. And we can pass those around. Maybe we should go pass those around. Otherwise, we might forget. So, Ben, if you don't mind dispersing some of those Sharpies. What I want you to do is on that blank note card, I want you all to just write those 4 words. It's all a gift. It's all a gift. And let's see. Heiko, do you mind handing out note cards if anyone else needs them? Now, I want you to carry this note card with you everywhere you go this week. So you can fold it up, put it in your pocket, you can put it in your purse. It's all a gift. And then whenever you have a moment in which you are acutely aware of the fact that that moment, your life at that moment is a gift, I want you to put that note card next to whatever it is you're experiencing. So maybe it's a meal. Maybe you're out to dinner with some friends. Take a picture of your friends next to that note card. Or maybe it's your dog. Or maybe it's the sun or nature, whatever, your favorite TV show, I don't know. Whatever it is, I want you to put that note card right next to it. Then I want you to take a picture. Then I want you to upload that picture to our Instagram page. I understand not everyone has Instagram, so don't worry, we'll get there. If you have Instagram, if you don't, well, if you have Instagram and you're not following Awaken, please do so. It's Awaken Westchester Church. So start following Awaken Westchester Church. But then I want you to upload that picture to your Instagram account to at Awaken Westchester Church. Is that right, Cassidy? Did I get this right? Okay. I'm still new to this whole thing. Cassidy has like walked me through this. I want you to upload it, and then I want you to hashtag it, it's all a gift. Okay, we tracking so far? So you carry that note card, you're like, oh my goodness, like I got to see Bob who I hadn't seen in 7 weeks, and life is great, life is amazing. Or maybe you're just sitting and you're just so grateful for the life you've been given. You're greeting your morning with silence and gratitude, and so you just want to take a picture of you and your morning coffee or whatever. Upload it to the Instagram page, at Awaken Church, at Awaken Westchester Church, hashtag it's all a gift. Now, if you don't have Instagram, please take a picture still and then send me an email, dave@awakenwestchester.com, and I will upload it to our, I'm not going to put any names or anything, don't worry, I will upload it to our Awaken Instagram page. And what I want a week from now is I want a parade of pictures. And let's say you have like 7 moments, great, awesome. Like I don't care, 50 times if you're just going crazy this week and your heart is just bursting open, upload as many pictures as you want to. I want to see a parade of pictures throughout the week of all the moments in which we as a community are becoming aware of the truth that it's all a gift and that we remember that everything that we've been given is a gift from God, and every moment, every breath is a gift, and that we do not forget that truth. Does that make sense? We tracking? Oh, yes. Right, right. So you upload it onto your page, and then I guess you put that at, and then start, that's how you tag it. If you have any problems, don't spend a lot of time with it because that's going to take you away from the fact that your life's a gift. If there's anything that annoys me more in life, it's the fact that I don't know how to do technological things and I spend like half an hour and then I'm like, and then I got to go and meditate for like 2 hours just to get myself back to a balanced center. So if it's too much of a hassle, just send me an email, all right? Hey, I am so excited, and I really hope that we take advantage of this, and I want to be able to show pictures next week and scroll us through all these moments in life and show all those others who weren't here this week but who will be here next week, hey, look at this place that we're living from. Let me pray here for us. God, thank you for this morning. God, thank you for the gift of today. Thank you for the gift of life that we're here, we're breathing. God, that we can come together to worship you. God, that we can come together to learn more about you. God, to become aware, more aware of your presence with us. God, of all the gifts that you've given us in life. So God, as Moses implored the Israelites to not forget the God who had gifted them with land and identity and meaning, God, I ask that we would also not forget. God, that we would not forget that our life is a gift from you and that everything we have has been given to us, not through our merit or through what we've achieved, but simply because of your grace. God, the New Testament uses this word grace, which is the Greek word charis. It could also mean gift. So God, may we be thankful for the gift of Jesus that brings salvation and life. God, new life to us. God, this week, as we go throughout our weeks, may we carry that note card with us. And God, may your spirits point us to those moments when we are just aware that what we're experiencing is a gift. And I pray that a week from now, God, that we would have pictures. God, we would have stories, that our hearts would grow bigger in gratitude and thankfulness for all that you're doing and all that you've done in our lives. So we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.